XNO. Keith Murphy.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Andy Fails.
I pity the fool.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
You can do it!
On 1460 KXNO.
It is the Murph and Andy Show on a Wednesday. We're glad you're with us here on 1460 KXNO. We have sports and more until 4. Alongside Andy Fails, I'm Keith Murphy. Andrew Downs is with us as we're all together. And Andy, I just saw from the William Hill, from Scott Sipker, put out a tweet, and William Hill, Iowa, put out a tweet that iOS, the Apple app, is a go. It is live now. I've been asked that so many times.
I bet. We saw all those people in that line.
Yeah, and Android has been ready since we were there. Was that a week ago? Would it be a week ago tomorrow? Android was ready right away, but they estimated the Apple to be sometime in the next week, and that's what's happened. So
right.
It's today. Yeah. So there you go.
What, are they extra careful or something?
AD, you have some experience with Apple, just outside approval just takes longer with Apple, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And essentially, like, so William Hill couldn't even submit their app to Apple until noon last Thursday when it was live and working. It couldn't legally go live until noon last Thursday. At that point, they were able to submit it to Apple, but Apple doesn't do anything quickly. So they basically say, we'll get to it when we can. We'll make sure it works, and it is what you say it is. It could take up to 14 days, and we'll let you know. We've had that with podcasts and things where you have to actually have the podcast there, everything ready to go, then submit it to Apple. They'll take a couple of weeks to go through it and make sure it is what you say it is before they let it show up live on their platform.
Our friend Doug Eklund with the Cellular Advantage, he has had the same experience. He's told me before that, you know, promotions or anything they do with Apple is just much more complicated.
Kind of like dealing with the government.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of red tape.
Because they're the brand.
Apple is one of the biggest brands in the world.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, now the app is live there. Please, if you do gamble, gamble responsibly. It's Wednesday, it's hump day, and this will get you ready for what happens in 10 days. It's AD's midweek college football hype mix.
Hawks do some stunning and twisting, and Nolan's almost decapitated.
It's a fumble recovered by the defense.
And that'll do it.
And here is a running play by Purdy across the 20 to the 10. Touchdown, Brock Purdy.
Out of the gun, here comes Stanley. Here comes Minnesota. He gets rid of the pass. Caught, touchdown, Noah Fant. It's Noah Fant time.
Gives it to Montgomery. Touchdown, David Montgomery, right up the middle. A great hole was opened up by that offensive line. A two-yard run, and for the first time this season, West Virginia trails.
The Hawks are going to go for it on 4th and 8. Talk about rolling the dice in Vegas. Here comes the blitz. Stanley throws. It is caught. First down. And why not go to your playmaker, TJ Hockenson?
Thompson takes the snap. A blitz coming. And he's handy. Dropped the football. And Iowa State has it. Mike Rose is going to take it in for a Cyclone touchdown. The hit was delivered by Willie Harvey. And Rose caught it in the air and returned it for a Cyclone touchdown.
You hear the games right here from the Hawkeyes. If they can get one stop on 4th down. Fitzgerald back to pass. Steps up in the pocket. He winks it over the middle. Incomplete. Incomplete. Intended for Farrad Green. And the Hawkeyes have held. And the Hawks are going to put together back-to-back bowl victories. New York City to Tampa. Iowa takes over with 25 seconds to go.
All right. That's football season.
All boiled down to the good stuff.
Yeah, that's what you want to hear this time of year because it's all out there in front of the teams. Audio from Learfield on the Hawkeye and Cyclone radio networks, Gary Dolphin and John Walters. Also a reminder in there, mixed in there, is that a few of those key guys are gone. Someone else has to step up.
Yeah, there's room for new names in the highlights.
Definitely is. Randy Peterson, Des Moines Register, had a game-by-game prediction for Iowa State's football season. Came up with 9 wins. That would be 9-3. That would be 1 win over the Vegas over-under line. What'd you think of Randy's analysis?
I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, I think of Randy as being a guy that's exceptionally optimistic at times about the Cyclones. And so I was kind of bracing myself for something maybe I wouldn't agree with, but I looked at it game by game, and I thought it was pretty logical. You know, I mean, it is still an optimistic look at the season. I don't think there's any way around that. It's 9 wins. It's above the Vegas prediction.
It ties the most wins in the history of the school in the regular season.
It is calling for some what would be some pretty good wins, pretty mm-hmm. difficult wins. But it has them losing to Iowa. It has Iowa State losing to Iowa. And I think there are a lot of Iowa State fans that really think that they're going to win this game this year.
They're at home and they're 4.5-4 point favorites.
I felt like the moment I saw that, and he gives a lot of analysis of why he thinks that's going to happen. And I think the moment that he made that pick, it kind of made me sit up and pay a little closer attention to it. It has Iowa State losing to Baylor, which I feel like I would make that same pick. I mean, in my memory of watching that game last year, I thought Iowa State was very fortunate to win that game.
The game would be at Baylor this year, correct?
It's at Baylor.
And they bounced back well. I mean, you thought Baylor might plunge right mm-hmm. back into being irrelevant, but they haven't.
You have to kind of remember last season, right? I mean, it's about time for all of us to go back and do a deep dive on what happened in the games last season for both teams.
Both teams had their seasons, for better or worse, kind of turn on close calls.
No doubt about it. Yeah, I mean, there were a number of games where we were kind of analyzing single plays late in those games.
And games could go either way. Like, I was at the Iowa State-Kansas State game, and that felt like Kansas State was going to continue that strange hold that they've had on Iowa State for more than a decade, but the Cyclones found a way to win, which is what good teams do.
Yeah, but I think there are a lot of fans that think, well, Baylor, you know, they're way down since Art Briles. Iowa State beat them last year. They'll beat them again this year.
They still got Texas recruits.
But you remember what happened in that game last year. That game melted down. I mean, it was a mess. There was that fight, players kicked out, and then there was that bench warning. The coach was Baylor's coach was really undisciplined, and the quarterback was even worse. Said something to the officials, and he was playing really well, and Baylor was really in that game. Looked like they could very well win that game, and the quarterback melted down and was kicked out. Remember that? I mean, it was a huge turn in the game.
Montgomery was kicked out too.
Yeah, he was out too.
Smack at the jack,
no doubt. But the quarterback was kicked out late, and then. And really, Baylor could not come back from that. You know, they couldn't rally after that. So, all these players are in the game and the game is at Baylor, I mean, I think it's logical to pick Baylor to win that game. And then it doesn't have any miracle win at Oklahoma, right? I feel like it's hard to take somebody's prediction seriously that has Iowa State winning at Oklahoma at this point. And we haven't seen these teams.
But this year, to be fair, this year would not be a miracle. It'd be a mild
miracle
upset.
Miracle I'm using as a...
Two, three years ago, that felt like a miracle.
It's embellishing a little bit. But still, I mean, that would be a huge upset.
Oklahoma would be, I would think, at least a touchdown favorite in that game.
Yeah, and who knows what happens by then. Maybe more.
And
maybe
that could change things. Favorite. Yeah.
So he has those three losses in there. He's got wins at Texas Tech, and I've heard a lot of people think that Iowa State will lose that game.
Changing the head coach. Kingsbury's out.
Right, and Texas Tech gave Iowa State a good battle last year in Ames. I was at that game. It was tight. They made some mistakes late, but that quarterback in flashes is really good. Forgetting his last name now.
He had huge numbers. Yeah, Texas Tech quarterbacks usually do.
And then a win at K-State, which, you know, that's K-State. They have changed coaches also, but you know Chris Klieman could coach at mm-hmm. what he did at North Dakota State. And then winning at Manhattan is just not ever something that Iowa State has been consistent at doing.
But that is conditioning. That is looking at the long history.
It is conditioning. Yeah.
And we know why.
But then home wins over Texas, and that's very optimistic.
That would be an impressive win because Texas does look really good in the top 10 for a reason. And there's a couple games on Iowa State's schedule. I just saw the NBC Sports Pro Football Focus had something on this. Two teams that could be emerging and that people might be sleeping on a little bit are Oklahoma State and TCU. And we know how well TCU is coached.
Because Gary Patterson doesn't let those guys don't have long slides, and they didn't have a very good year last year. They typically, I think Randy was pointing out that after a bad year, they always bounce back with a 10-win season.
He's such a good coach.
They have a really good defense, too, and they beat Iowa State last year, but that was a game where Iowa State really did not look good. TCU game, they looked like a mess.
Mm-hmm.
I look through that game by game, and I think, okay, that seems reasonable, and at the same time, it's still 9-3, which has to make you feel good about a season, right? I mean, it doesn't look like he's sugarcoating stuff,
right?
But you still come up with 9 wins.
That does kind of show me where the expectations are to some degree. I think Cyclone fans would still feel good about an 8-4 season with a chance to get a 9th win in a bowl game. But mm-hmm. I think 7-5
is too safe.
It ends up being disappointing. I mean, these are the highest expectations ever.
Not for a prediction. You're talking about an overall result.
Yeah, if it ends up and if
yeah,
it ends
I agree.
Up
7-5, yes.
Be disappointed.
And again, you're conditioned to not feel that way about Iowa State, mm-hmm. right? Not to not count any win before it's actually in the book.
I watched the Big Ten Network's tour through Iowa City yesterday, which is always interesting. One of the things that it did is fun to see in those. And once in a while, like an ex-player will call the coach out for being aware that he's wearing a microphone. And what's implied there is, I've never heard you speak that many sentences at practice in a row without profanity. Mm-hmm. You know, that's always what's said. But they had it. You know, they had some of the coaches mic'd up, and that is always an interesting
mic'd up insight. at practice.
Okay. But there's no profanity, which anybody who's ever played football, it's just constant. I mean, it may not be Hard Knocks or not Hard Knocks,
last chance
season 4 constant, but profanity is a constant at most every football practice in the world. I think the only exception would be if you had, and I don't know of a coach like this. I remember when I went to college in Valdosta High School was winning national championships, and they had a head coach named Nick Heider who did not allow profanity. He wouldn't use profanity, didn't allow his coaches, didn't allow his players. He always felt like you need to be able to select a more intelligent word, that the profanity is a crutch. That was his thing, so you would not hear it there. So there's an exception maybe where you could have a head coach who just has a blanket policy, no swearing at practice. But for the most part, it is constant at a football practice, pretty much at any level. Maybe not peewee, but high school, yes. College, for sure. The NFL, you know what Hard Knocks is like. It always has the coach, after watching the video, have some kind of awareness of, man, I need to start cussing less.
Did you have any coaches that swore before high school?
Yes, but not F-bombs and not much.
I don't think I had any F-bomb coaches before high school.
I can't remember. I can remember some profanity, but not, I don't remember that. And you get that sense, the Little League World Series managers are mic'd up, and you can tell that they're aware. Some of them are starting to overdo the motivational speech to the team right after they lose, because they're aware that if it's really inspiring and positive, and I'm being a little cynical here, but yeah, the ones that go viral, the ones that get played a lot, or where, you know, he's just pouring his heart out about what you know.
And it's a Little League baseball game.
It might be, in some cases, might be totally sincere. In a few, they're starting to sound similar to me, and they're starting to sound a little bit contrived, a little bit like, man, I got to really show how positive this experience is. But back to Iowa and the Big Ten Network, there's some interesting things there. It seems like a familiar theme there. They're solid in some spots. Much of the season will depend on how much Nate Stanley improves, if he's able to elevate his game, whether the receivers step up, who fills in at tight end, all of that. But mostly it looks like another really solid Iowa team, and most frequently picked at 8-4, which is just, with that schedule, mm-hmm. 6 top 25 teams, that would be pretty good. But you hate to look at a schedule and go like, what, right along with what everyone is kind of predicting. And even the analytics on Iowa is usually pretty accurate. When you run a simulation, the prediction is usually pretty close to what it says, 7, 8, 9 wins. And it's kind of what you come to expect. The outlier is the 2015 season, which had a really favorable schedule, and Iowa did win the close games. You look at like last year, how close last season was to having the same flow as 2015, except instead of winning those close games, instead of making the one play that can flip a whole season, for the most part, Iowa didn't. Like,
had them made against them.
Kirk Ferentz said, as an example, when he was talking to the Big Ten Network, he said, as an example, against Nebraska, when that game tightens up and you have that fourth down play, AD, I think it might have even been your audio, in the rain, they go ahead and go for it, and they throw that 4th and 8 to T.J. Hockenson, who makes that play. And then another example Ferentz used, also involving Hockenson, who we're reminded is gone, but in the bowl game, in the Outback Bowl, they need a big play. They need to flip the field, and they throw like a 2-yard pass to Hockenson, and he breaks four or five tackles and turns it into like a 20-yard gain. Field position is flipped. Game is mostly solidified on that one play. If he's tackled, maybe it goes a different way. So that is those close calls, the K-State, Iowa State, the Iowa Penn State or the Iowa Mississippi State, sometimes it's just, does somebody step up and make one play, or do you fail to make one play, can be the difference in 8-4 and 11-1 or 12-0.
Yeah, right. And it's that close too. I mean, you won, but you were that close to losing and feeling completely differently about that game, right? I mean, you flip, your emotions flip 100%, right? Win or loss. I mean, a game can be a real disappointment up until that final play, and then you make that final play, and then somehow it's none of it is a disappointment.
Guess who unveiled teams today? That's right.
This is the XFL!
20 years later, the XFL is back, and Andy, here's your team names, okay?
All right.
You ready?
Yep.
AD, you ready for your XFL
team?
These
are going to be really good.
I'm going to pick which team I'm rooting for based on the nickname. So
okay. All right. As we go through them, though, just your reaction to the name. Think of the city, the name, and I'll tell you right off, Andy. All of these nicknames could double as energy drinks. Okay, so they're all macho nicknames. They all could be energy drinks. We'll get that out of the way.
And I think it's gonna be rough for Andy when we get to his hometown.
All right, here we go.
Energy drinks or like really sporty versions of pickup trucks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that too. They could be that. All right, first off, Dallas Renegades.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of like the Renegades.
Renegades is okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Renegade and had it made. Yeah.
Bring it,
is that my Scott Stapp?
Sticks.
That sticks. Right. Yeah. I know. Just you said yesterday.
Was, you use your Scott Stapp voice to sing Tommy Shaw. Yeah.
All right. The DC Defenders. DC Defenders. They're defending DC. Yeah. That's okay, right? DC Defenders. All right. First of all, let's get a compliment in here before we get through these names. They're all plural.
Good.
So that's good,
that's
right?
That's good, right.
There's no thunder,
no storm,
heat,
right.
Yeah. Wild. Yeah. I mean, they're
no
plural.
Vengeance.
Yeah, they're all right. Plural. I like that. Houston Roughnecks.
That's pretty good.
I feel like there have been a few Houston Roughnecks before.
That's good, and they basically have stolen the Oilers logo.
Yeah, right.
So why not?
I'm
that's
almost
smart.
Expecting there to be some sort of lawsuit there.
It's that close.
There's an oil well in their logo.
Yeah.
With the framework, like the Oilers head.
It looks like
that was a great NFL nickname. That was so much better than Tennessee Titans.
Titans, not Titans.
That was so much better. Houston Oilers.
The oil well on the white helmet.
It was great.
With the blue pants and white jersey is one of the greatest uniforms ever.
That version of the uniform.
So good.
Perfect.
So good. Earl Campbell running the football. Los Angeles Wildcats.
Come on.
Dumb.
Well, isn't a wildcat generic and a roughneck the same thing? Wildcat is originally a guy in an oil well, right?
It can be. It can also be a wildcat.
Yeah, it could be. But this Is this named after the Goldie Hawn movie, or do we know? Do we know what Wildcat
this
is based
on? Generic name you could probably.
That's like, an underrated sports movie. That's actually kind of funny.
Wesley Snipes, yeah. Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson's in that. That's right.
They're about to team up again, and White Men Can't Jump.
Who's the angry coach on the other side? Knock his dick in the dirt.
I don't remember angry
who
coach.
Who was it? Was that? It wasn't Stacey Keach, right? It was.
Don't remember. I don't.
He's in a number of other. Number of other movies, just a real angry dude. Plays a good angry guy. We'll figure it out.
Was he the angry coach in, North Dallas 40? Same guy? No, that's probably too late. All right, let's get back to the names. New York Guardians.
Sounds like an insurance company.
Yeah, that one's not. That's Wildcats that's and Guardians. Dumb. The Seattle Dragons. That's not that's timely,
right?
Yeah, that
makes you think of Bruce Lee.
Yeah, and when you think of Seattle, you think of dragons.
I guess. Why? Because there's a lot of Asians there or something? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, it's
like a dragon? Like the year of the dragon?
I was being sarcastic. No, it's not.
I thought that's what you were saying.
No, I was being sarcastic. See,
the dragons?
Yeah, you don't think of dragons
like
in Seattle.
Like Game of Thrones?
Yeah, there's no connection to Seattle. Sarcasm. No, yeah, they'd be like this, but you can't go Seattle lattes. You have to come up with something, right?
Yeah, the fishmongers.
Seattle craft brewers or Seattle rainfall. St. Louis Battlehawks.
That's dumb.
That's pretty good. Battlehawk, don't you think that's good?
What's a battlehawk?
It's a hawk. He's in battle. He's a hawk in battle.
There's no battlehawk.
Wear battlehawk gear? Come on.
There were the St. Louis Hawks, the NBA team, before they moved to Atlanta.
Add battle to it. It's more like an energy drink.
That's like a kid's TV show.
Yeah,
like a cartoon
I feel like
show.
That's the worst name yet.
It's awful.
Battle Hawk. No, no, no. This is it. I thought you'd like Battle Hawks. No?
No.
It's just
that's
dumb.
A terrible name.
Yeah, it is awful.
All right, what about the Tampa Bay Vipers?
That's all right.
The Vipers.
The snake,
it's
right?
It's got to be. Can't just be the snakes. It's got to be like the most rad snake with the longest teeth.
I think that actually is an energy drink.
There are no Vipers in Tampa. Actually, that's not true. There'd be like invasive species all over Florida.
Baker Mayfield reaches out to Giants first-round draft pick Daniel Jones, the quarterback. Mayfield says his quote was taken out of context. Mayfield says he was also surprised when he was taken number one. He said in his quote, "You have to win.
You have to prove. To be a guy that's highly touted coming out of college, you have to have won.
You can't just be the measurables or your potential. You have to have won.
You have to be a winner, which is not true.
It's not true. Patrick Mahomes didn't.
No,
win much
he didn't win.
Texas.
Matt Ryan didn't win much.
Texas Tech.
A lot of quarterbacks in college weren't. I mean, Kurt Warner.
I just defended Baker Mayfield yesterday, but I can't really defend him on that. I didn't feel like it was that big of a thing to say because first of all, the interview was in April, so
right. So he's kind of forgotten about what he said.
It's inconvenient now in August to have this come out. But what Mayfield said was being a real human being. He reacted the way most of us did, those of us who follow the NFL draft. My immediate thought was, Daniel Jones is number six? Who is Daniel Jones? That kind of
thing. But everybody, he's right, though. I mean, everybody said Baker Mayfield is number one?
Yeah, because he was
We're not sure
climbing
fast. He should be in the top five.
But the thing...
Or top five quarterbacks taken, even, though. Is that surprising that they took him there?
Yeah, and my question for him, and this is why I got to ding him on this, is no, he's not saying he didn't say this. He's saying that it was taken out of context, and I just don't see this sentence as being something that can be
taken out of context.
How do you take that out of context?
They show the whole quote, and a lot of these stories that have run within the New York Post and everything, they showed the whole quote.
Yeah, and it was recorded. He didn't misquote him.
Right, yeah, exactly. And dealing with one little piece of it that may have been left out or left in. I mean, that sounds like what Steve King has been trying to do this past week and take some little piece that might have been left out and trying to use that to say is the entire thing that he said was changed, which you know is not the case because it was recorded.
Right.
Right? And everybody's shown the recording from the beginning. But, I mean, he, And one of the reasons we kind of respected that is because it just seemed like, as you said, this is what a human being would say, and that a lot of people said when Daniel Jones was picked there. And so it seems like Baker Mayfield is just being a human being.
Just being real.
Now, you can't really give him that credit because he's saying it was taken out of context.
Yeah, and now,
he's saying what he didn't say.
I have to take back my credit because now he feels like here in August that it plays bad and it's disrespectful of another player. And I think he does feel bad about it now. But I would respect him more today if he just said, you know what? I said that in April. I didn't know a lot about Daniel. I shouldn't have said that. I should have given him time to prove himself. Wish I hadn't said, I'm going to call him and apologize directly to him.
And he texted him, he reached out to him, yeah. And then they talked to Daniel Jones, and he...
But he's trying to make it sound like he didn't say it when it was recorded, and he did
say it. And it was, you know, like, he basically just flat out said, the media always takes something, spins it around, turns it into clickbait, and ends up putting a bunch of words in your mouth that you didn't say.
Yeah, and the media does do that, but a small percent of the time. It's just
it's also a lazy excuse.
Yeah, it's an excuse that's used by a lot of people. When we come back... On the Murph and Andy Show, we'll have more, including the cheapest place to see.
Go Hawks. Happy birthday to you. Happy
birthday. Play a little Guess Whose Birthday, powered by Cellular Advantage. Murph, you're up first. Guess Whose Birthday?
Leading the game-winning drive and then letting the media know about it afterward.
You like that? You like that?
Kirk Cousins?
It is.
He's right around 30, because I think he is. I'll just say he's 30.
He's 31, so you do get the point. Andy, guess whose birthday?
My next guest is a founding member of New Kids on the Block and a star of Blue Bloods here on CBS. Please welcome back to The Late Show.
I'd assume it's Donnie Wahlberg.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if the other ones have been in anything. Any acting roles. Donnie Wahlberg.
Like making the band.
Yeah, right, which is... A little bit of performing. He is... Donnie Wahlberg is 50.
He is 50. You take the lead. Jeez. Murph, guess whose birthday?
Oh, he's retained his title in the most emphatic way. Is the fastest man on the planet.
Are you saying Bolt?
It is. It's going to be sad when I have to replace that because somebody else is faster.
They better pack a lunch. Dude was fast, man. Usain Bolt. Remember the photo of him? Just that iconic photo of him looking back, big smile on his face.
In the 100.
And the other fastest guys in the world are like 5 yards behind him.
In the 100.
In the 100 meters. Usain Bolt. God, these sprinters peak in their late 20s. So I say he's 30. He's younger than we think, I think. He's 32.
He's 33, so you get the point.
Good logic there.
Andy, guess whose birthday?
You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
That's a gambler. That's Kenny Rogers.
It is.
Of Kenny Rogers' chicken.
Kenny Rogers Roasters.
Right.
That was such a funny, random episode of Seinfeld. He's in his 80s. He's... 82.
He's 81. You get the win. At the tiebreaker.
Yeah. Man, I played well and lost. Jeez, that's tough. Tough stuff. Let's get some more on the Murph and Andy Show.
It's time for more, brought to you by Lithia Volkswagen of Des Moines. I'm Scott Landreth, inviting you to get more savings, more selection, and more service only at Lithia Volkswagen. Visit DesMoinesVW.com. And now, back to Murph and Andy.
Thank you, Scott Landreth. What is that Kenny Rogers thinking? Well, he is the gambler.
He is.
Kramer got hooked on the chicken.
Didn't somebody end up with a burn in that episode from The Sign?
Well, they switched apartments because it was bothering Kramer so much that Jerry went in there and lived in that
apartment. Then he kind of turns into Kramer.
Yeah, he turns into Kramer. And,
come on, no sleep.
And Kramer turns into Jerry. And,
they probably required Jerry to act, which was always tough.
Yeah, right, it did. Absolutely. That's kind of where the episode ran aground. Man, we got a lot of rain yesterday. Most of us were not awake for most of this rain, but here's how much we got. It is eye-popping. So we got 2.77 inches of rain here in Des Moines at the airport.
Is that according to the rain gauge out there that follows us on Twitter?
The most conservative thing this side of WHO radio. Right? I mean, it is always well below what you just know in your heart to be true, right? But 2.77 inches of rain, that's a lot of rain in just a couple of hours. Meanwhile, up in Eagle Grove, up toward Humboldt, 4.5 inches of rain. 2 hours they got there. They got flooded. We did have 3 tornadoes in central Iowa, confirmed by the National Weather Service. They hit the Badger Creek State Park area, Tracy, near the town of Tracy, and near the town of Lacona.
How many tomatoes?
There was word of a tomato.
Tomato warning.
Tomato warning.
Yeah.
I don't know if that ever turned into an actual tomato, but they were calling for it. The experts were. The Des Moines area Popeyes, according to the Des Moines Register here, they will not have the much talked about chicken sandwiches at Popeyes until October.
Boo. This has become like a nationwide social media fight.
Yeah, and the whole thing has me hungry for chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, and the Popeyes chicken sandwich.
Popeyes is good stuff.
It looks
Popeyes
really
is,
good.
Is good chicken, no doubt about it. So it's we're talking about a super fried chicken breast, and it's got a lot of crunchies all over it. And they hand bread it, apparently, which is a sign of a good chicken sandwich. Toasted brioche bun. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Pickles, which is essential on a chicken sandwich, I found. Spicy Cajun spread. Mm. Like that, too. The Chicago Tribune recently tested and ranked all 26 chicken sandwiches that you will find at area fast food restaurants.
All They're 26
of them. Now, one of them is at the Shake Shack. That's actually their number one ranked chicken sandwich. We don't have Shake Shack. It's apparently very good. I've never had Shake Shack. I heard it's outstanding.
I've had Shake Shack hamburger.
Really good? Good stuff?
Yeah, it was good. It wasn't life-changing, but it was good. But I haven't had the chicken sandwich.
Well, apparently the chicken sandwich will change your life because that's 26 different sandwiches they try.
That's a lot of sandwiches.
Number 26, the lowest on the list, is the McChicken.
Oh, man.
Which they just basically say is a great big chicken McNugget.
That's
frozen.
True. Yeah.
It's just a bunch of that ooze. It's all they form together.
The chicken sandwich at Burger King is better than McDonald's.
Yeah, and it's ranked higher on this list. And there's, I think, a couple of sandwiches at a few of these places. I think Burger King has 2. Hardee's has a couple. Arby's has a couple. But we'll go through the top 5 here. Popeyes is 2nd. Right after Shake Shack. So of the sandwiches that would be available here, it would be ranked 1st. 3rd is Chick-fil-A's regular chicken sandwich, which I've never had. I always get the spicy chicken sandwich.
I've had both, but I like the spicy, too. I like things a little spicy.
Saying that Popeye's is better than Chick-fil-A's chicken sandwich, that is
something.
A strong indictment. That's saying I need to have this sandwich right away when it gets here in October.
That's a strong endorsement.
Yes, that too.
We will eat if Chick-fil-A wants to send over a couple sandwiches right now. I'll eat it on the air. No,
they're pretty busy at those 2 restaurants. I mean,
they're not
sitting on their hands over there. You send those fine kids over there.
Sure,
so nice.
Just it'd be their pleasure to send a sandwich.
Raisin Cane's is number 4. One thing I didn't know about Raisin Cane's: all of their stuff is hand breaded, and that makes a great big difference. They bread it there with fresh stuff. It's basically just a bunch of chicken strips on a bun, but they're good chicken strips. That's a good sandwich.
They are good. This is like you telling about the first time you saw Field of Dreams. My kids made me feel like
they built it out too high.
They did. They made me feel like Raisin Cane's was just going to blow my mind, and it was just more like, oh, that's a good chicken sandwich.
Well, but if you think about it, if you had not had Chick-fil-A and you'd only had a chicken, like a Chick McNuggets, you'd be blown away by Raisin Cane's.
That's true.
So Chick-fil-A is 3rd, Raisin Cane's is 4th, Arby's, I guess, is 5th. They have an underrated chicken sandwich there.
They have the meats.
It is the place for meats.
Yeah, I was just there. I on the way back from Fort Dodge Sunday, I stopped and had a big old Arby's sandwich, and
I cannot remember the last time I've been to Arby's.
Yeah, and
America's roast beef, yes, sir.
We had one of those experiences.
Insanity about chicken in there.
We stood at the counter, Jenny and I. We stood at the counter, and the guy said, "Hello," and we said, "Hi," and they just ignored us for like at least 5 minutes. We just stood there, the only ones at the counter.
A lot of these restaurants have a hard time finding good people.
I know, and the guy was staying busy, kept helping the people at the drive-through. Meantime, we're just standing there.
And you chop liver.
So finally, a young guy looked like it maybe his just started, looked like a sophomore in high school or so, nice young man. But he comes and he takes our order, and we order, and we go sit at the booth. We're the only ones in the restaurant at this time. And like at least 15 minutes later, they finally call Murphy, and we go up there to at least 15 minutes. And
you should have walked through the drive-thru like they do over at the Drake McDonald's.
That would have been funny.
So annoying.
So the guy, he hands me the food, and we just got such a kick out of this because it's funny. He slides a tray to me and goes, I apologize. I'm really sorry. I have no idea what happened. And that struck me as so funny.
No idea what happened?
Yeah, because it took forever to get us our food. But if you don't know what happened, who does? Yeah.
I mean, it didn't happen. Right? I mean, it was not witnessed.
I'm sorry. I have no idea what happened.
Hardee's is sixth, and the Chick-fil-A spicy chicken sandwich, which is my favorite chicken sandwich, that's seventh place. That there tells me there's a lot of chicken I need to try. 60 years ago today, we say aloha and make it an even 50 states. You realize that?
60 years ago?
60 years and one day ago.
Huh.
We had only 49 states. Didn't Alaska come in like that year too, or not too long before that? 49 states. I mean, our parents grew up with fewer than 50 states, right? I mean, I just really thought it was 50 is such a perfect round number, and there was a star for each one, and the stars all fit on the flag perfectly. You just kind of think that there were always 50 states, right? I mean, like, or there was always this goal of 50 states, or should have been 50 states. You can't stop at 49. I mean, no, it's no wonder they went and picked this, the only island state. All right, fine. We need 50 states here, right? We're not going to stick on 49. There's no more territory down here in the lower 48. Maybe they were thinking about, like, cutting Texas in half or something because it's so big.
Just make another
finally,
state.
Finally, they're just like, yeah, just take some of those islands over there in the South Pacific. They're nowhere near us, but like, we need to get to 50.
So now, to keep it at 50, do you do something like, all right, we're going to, instead of being a territory, Puerto Rico is going to be a state, but now the Dakotas, you're just one state. We're still 50.
Yeah, right, just to keep it at 50, because you don't want to go to 51.
You need to make it 52, add Puerto Rico, and let D.C. become a state.
That's a small state.
Yeah, it's kind of a mess. Right, a lot of states.
Yeah.
Way more than Wyoming. But it is, to this day, and always was, and one of the real pieces of pushback against making Hawaii a state was racism, of course. There were many conservatives in Congress that didn't like the idea of having a state with an ethnic minority as the majority. And it is, to this day,
it is still that way.
The only state in America where white people are in the minority.
I'm surprised it's the only state. That's true, huh?
Yeah.
Because those numbers are moving over time.
I would imagine that Texas is pretty darn close. Maybe New Mexico as well, really close. But, they have been in the minority the entire time. And I think it's held pretty steady as well. Bankingrates.com compiled a list of what it costs for two people to attend an NFL game in each NFL city. And it is pretty crazy to look at some of these costs. Now, this is, they're going off the past season, the complete season, when they had all the prices and everything.
Okay.
Added those up, and here we go. This is from 2018. This is the price, the median cost of a ticket, a beer, a hot dog, and a soda. Then multiply it by two. This is for two people.
So this is a reasonable day. I'm going to spend more than this. I mean, because I'm not just having one beer and one hot dog.
This is a median ticket, soda. So it's right in the middle. You know, and we know the most expensive tickets in an NFL city are ridiculous.
So this is truly
this is right in the middle. This is the one in the middle. It may not be average, but it is the middle ticket price. And then they add in the cost of parking, which, of course,
oh boy,
that's not free.
Yeah.
So the cheapest place for two people to see a game is Cleveland.
That's not surprising.
That's $233. That's what you're paying for that. Your tickets, beers, hot dogs, sodas, parking.
That's a lot of money.
$232 for the cheapest of 32 teams. Okay, the Jets game is surprisingly cheap considering it's in New York or the New York area.
Yeah, this will change if they get good again.
Yeah, sure. $328. The Chiefs, here in the good old Midwest, $336.50. The Vikings, $389.
Jeez.
Atlanta, where, mind you, they have bragged up a storm about how cheap the hot dogs are. And by the way, they don't have the cheapest hot dogs in the league.
That's all. That's called the misdirection. Look at this hand. Yeah. This hand over here.
Red herring. $428.
Jeez.
Over $400. $428 for for two people to go to the Falcons game. The Rams, even though they were playing in the outdated old Coliseum, right? I mean, not even in their new... They're going to be in their new building this year. Last year, they were in the old one. $438. The Chargers at their soccer stadium they were playing in.
It's a little 25,000 feet stadium.
$484.50 to go to the Chargers game for two people. Now, the Bears on the list are the first team to break the $500 threshold. $525.50 for two people to go to the Bears game. The lousy Redskins are $567.50. The Packers, $679.50.
That's incredible because
median ticket price goes over $300.
You've been to Green Bay. I mean, that is a blue collar town where you
can get so much.
You can buy a
for
house
that money.
In Green Bay for $700.
I mean, that's a lot of money. This is why everyone is fighting attendance problems.
The Seahawks, $708 for two people to go.
To a football game.
And then number one on the list, the Patriots. By far the most expensive day at the game at a game in the NFL. $1,006.50. The tickets, jeez, the median ticket, this is last year after they didn't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right.
The tickets, the median ticket price, $468. And you know it's going up this year.
You want to go on vacation or go to a Patriots game this weekend?
Holy smokes.
Wow. All right. Throwdown's coming up next.
Here, young lady.
Don't let me throw it down.
It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
Let's throw it down, Andy. Between opening weekend and the Cy-Haw game, Iowa State has a bye while Iowa hosts a conference opponent in Rutgers. I can see benefits to both scenarios. Which schedule would you prefer as coach of the team?
I feel like I would prefer that extra game. One more game, a tune-up, a big-time tune-up, but that's still a very beatable team. So it's not like you're walking into Ohio State in that week. It's a game that you should win, but a game that you will have to play well to win. And I think... I'm not sure you could draw it up any better than that, as a matter of fact. I think that's a very ideal situation for Iowa.
I think it does matter who the opponent is. So in this particular season, I think this is a really great question and a close call. And you can argue on both sides of it. And I think we'll do more of that as this approaches. But where I'm sitting today, I think I'd rather be Iowa State because you've already played one game, and the most improvement coaches always remind us is from game one to game two. So you've played one game, and now you get 2 weeks to game plan for what you know Iowa is likely to do. You're just going to be concentrating on Iowa for 2 weeks. You have everybody healthy. You don't have any injury surprises unless they happen in practice. And if you're Matt Campbell, you've never beaten Iowa, so you are really focused on this game. If you're Kirk Ferentz, you can't take Rutgers lightly because if you slip up and lose, if you try to look ahead to Iowa State and you slip up and lose, you're now in a conference hole for the rest of the season. So I think in this scenario, I'd rather be Iowa State.
Murph, would you rather never attend another live sporting event or never attend another live music event?
Man. Wow.
All levels of everything?
Yeah, man, right. If a guy pulls out a guitar in a bar, you got to walk out.
You got to leave.
Wow. You can't go to a high school football game.
Jeez, that's tough. I think I would rather never attend another live music event, but that makes me sad to even thinking about it. I love concerts, but never seeing sports in person again, even though most of the time now I do prefer television, but to think, you know, Iowa State somehow has that dream season and they're in the college football playoff or the Final Four in basketball, and I can't go, I'm going to have to say goodbye to the music concerts. But, man, that's a sad thought.
I would make the same choice and with the same heavy heart, but and in both cases, you need those live events to kind of re-energize yourself, right? I mean, kind of remind you of the the passion of it all is kind of right there in the raw, right there in the live event when it's, you know, there's nothing between you and the actual event going on other than air, right? But I think I just, sports is so much more a part of my life, having to see these games live or getting the opportunity to see a lot of these games live. I think that would be the harder to give up.
All right, the poll's up on Twitter, at Murph_Andy. Who won Throwdowns? Was it Murph or was it Andy?
That'll do it for hour number one, but we're not done. We're back for hour number two on the Murph and Andy Show, sports and more until 4. Get it started with Trending Iowa, and Mr. Movie joins us at 3:30.